Welcome to this transmission from Jiva Ann, Voice of Gaia. Jiva Ann is an oracle and long-time open channel, working primarily with the elementals and in service as a voice for the planetary consciousness of Gaia, as she speaks to her beloved children, reminding them of her love for us, reminding us that we are of her, we are one within her, and gently helping us remember how to be the master co-creators that we are. The original purpose of the Oracle at Delphi was to bring through the wisdom that helps us remember how to co-create in harmony. Jiva Ann's part in that story, while remaining largely secret, was to be the voice of Gaia, reminding humanity of their place in the picture of harmonious co-creating, and to support us in our evolution into mastery. Finally, she speaks publicly now, after many lifetimes and many years in this lifetime, of privately working with other masters who approached her only as guided. Because now, as the guides say, we are asking the right questions. And it is with joy that she speaks from all benevolent directions, channeling the support from multiple, multidimensional, unconditionally loving sources to bring through the answers to the questions that come from our hearts about how can we live, grow, and create in greater and greater harmony. For your own oracle reading, visit voiceofgaia.life and send your question to Jiva Ann.
So welcome, hello, welcome to today's podcast, which is with Jiva Ann, Voice of Gaia. So Jiva Ann and I have worked together for years, and what can I say? I think she's an amazing open channel, always aligned for the highest possible truth, and really follows this principle I hold that all of life is conscious, all of everything is consciousness, and consciousness has a voice. And Jiva Ann is somebody who can give almost any aspect of consciousness its voice, who can ask what do the rocks have to say, what do the trees have to say, what does this mountain have to say, you know, as well as what are the guides saying right now, what are the elementals saying, what are the angels saying, what's the message coming from your soul or your higher self right now. And after I've worked with Jiva Ann for years, and one of the reasons is I can always, if I doubt myself, which is frequent, she's the only person pretty much where I go to say, so what are you getting on this? could you have a look, please? And we thought we'd go for a live together today, because Jiva Ann, although she's an open channel, very much channels is works, obviously you work so closely with the planetary consciousness, with Gaia. And, you know, you've been giving Gaia a voice, if you like, for so long, but usually in private, usually only with people who seek you out, who get guided to find you, and who only come with those questions that are really dedicated to asking the highest questions from the most loving place, for coming into the highest holist alignment. So it feels quite special that you're here now. Thank you.
Thank you.
I know I hammered you up a lot there, but I think it's all true, love. So
thank you.
Without going on and on about it, I'm gonna set the scene. This is one of the ways we work, is I kind of look and see what we're seeing. We hold a collective focus, the two of us. We are asking the question, what's live now in the evolution of collective consciousness? So what's live in the collective field? What's on the move? What are we likely as individuals and as a collective going to have to be working with right now? But more importantly, what can support us to come to align with a more graceful experience and to kind of get the gifts and get the lessons of the moment and work with the energies of the moment in the most efficient, most graceful, kindest, most benevolent way. So I think when two or more people come together and hold a shared focus, the what's in the field just amplifies. You have a synergy more than the sum of its parts. And just At the moment, I keep getting this phrase, the rainbow bridge of the summer solstice, where we shift from 6 months in the beginning of 2022, the first half of 2022, being so focused on healing and preparing, because of the momentous nature of the shift, that we're kind of the apex of the year, the summer solstice is taking us over. And the guides keep bringing me the phrase, the rainbow bridge, where we shift from healing into co-creating. And it's not to say that we haven't been co-creating, and it's not to say that hasn't been strong. It's just that the emphasis is really shifting in the collective field. That's where the support will be. And it's almost like we've never done it before this way. We've never really opened into co-creativity here, now, and like this together. And we can call it what we want. You can call it 5D co-creating, New Earth co-creating, or Unity co-creating. But what we're doing is learning how to co-create together when we're not coming from a place of rescuing, fixing, solving problems. When we're not struggling and we're not efforting to survive, that doesn't mean that all those things aren't real. But that's not where we're coming from in what motivates us to create together. There is a shift into coming from a place of, in this moment, I am one with, I am enough, and everything is enough in this moment. And that's not to bypass or be delusional or say there aren't problems. That's to align with the highest possible resonance that's opening up within the field of consciousness now. So when we drop into that highest resonance within ourselves, we're dropping into like a field of collective consciousness where so many others are here with us. We're an ocean of consciousness where that resonance of we are one, we are enough, we are connected. And in this moment, if nothing were needed from us, if we could empty out from all of those ideas of need, what do you want to do? What feels exciting? What comes? What arises in the emptiness? What is that spark and that impulse to create that arises when we empty out from the past? So you can see why the first 6 months has been so full of an emptying out and healing. And it's not, it sounds great when we say it like that, but there are actually, we need tools. We need the equipment. We need the tools. We need the know-how. We need to know how it works. And we need that structure to be part of who we are, not something we think about, not something we study and write down, but we need to have shifted so that who we are, how we're structured, what is impulsing us from within, how we respond. All of that inner work has shifted and changed who we are on the inside, so that when the energy supports us coming together into a more co-creative place where we work together, we play together, and the rules are all new, new earth co-creative rules, they're all new. You know, we're not having to go, oh my God, how does this work? Because we've already been aligned. That's why all this work is about inner alignment. So that's a kind of the big general theme. And that's why I would say that I do so much of what I, you know, the meditations that I do and the lives I do are all about coming into alignment. Because when we come into alignment, we change on the inside out. We don't have to manage it or control it or monitor it or think, oh my God, am I energetically ready for the moment? Have I got the skills? Am I a high enough vibration? Have I hit that frequency? Because we're shifting, always embodying, always integrating the shifts. And it's like, although what's shifting is so complicated, the map to alignment is always really simple. It's shifting awareness within, being in the body and being in the here and now and opening to what is now. So what is now? So that when the world changes and reality shifts and it's like the rug disappears from underneath our feet, and we can't see the walls anymore, we don't know who's with it or how it all works, we've always got that constant. The anchor is not other people, what reality looked like yesterday. The anchor is in here, that stabilizing, centering principle. So just a few, as I say, this is setting the scene, just a few short words on what I'm seeing at the moment. And what I'm really getting is like the reset, that ever, the ever-moving point of the resetting consciousness as it moves through the dimensions of the self, now moving through the real dimensions of density, you know, resetting consciousness from duality to unity through the physical dimensions of the self. And that's not just the body. That's the whole field of body consciousness, our physical universe, and how we experience it. Our unique subjective experience of the physical universe is a dimension of the self, the whole self. And there is a reset happening through, it's a realm, and there are lots of dimensions within that realm. And it's like how we experience that. That is us. That's, we have domain over that. We have sovereign domain over how we experience this. And it's not, realizing that can help liberate us from feeling like we've got to control other people's reality or consensus reality or collective reality, because we're resetting a whole dimension of the self, and it's vaster than we can imagine. And that realization that I am a body, but I'm not in an abyss. I am in a field of interconnectivity with lots of other bodies. But my experience of reality, my subjective experience, that is the self, the I am that I am. That's a layer of the onion, the layer of who I am. So, okay, having kind of tried to explain the metaphysics of that, what I'm getting is there's a reset in how structure grows. Now, structure is like a real broad metaphysical principle. But we've got to go back to plants. Just keep having to come back to plants in this. So when a plant grows, the essence of the plant is the nature. It's the qualities. We connect with the essence when we connect with what the oils that come from this, what the properties it gives us when we use it. But really, the essence of the plant is the beingness of that plant, the song it's singing. But the shape it has, what shape, how the stem grows, what, you know, how the leaves form at different stages of that plant's life, how the buds grow, when it seeds, how the petals look, the colors, the behavior of it. That's the shape it takes, that's structure. And of course, you can see in the plant that structure is always evolving, it's always changing, it's not rigid. So when we build structures as human beings, we're very used to making rigid, unchangeable structures. You put a building up, it stays building shaped, probably, usually, depends where you are. You know, you build an office, but you make all these, we're very good at blocks. We build blocks, we make spaces, and then we put people in them and people do things. People do what they're supposed to in the structures. That's a construct. And construction, making rigid structures for life, is, and the shape of things and how things should be, that's what happens when we're disconnected from the breath of life, from all of everything. When we just have to create safety and stability, so we construct. But structure, when it's true, in its truth, I think, when it's going through a rebirth, structure grows, it's living. And it grows always in response to the nature of the essence of the being. So there's a big reset now in how we are in, I'm just going to say structure because I could go on and on about that, but that how we allow structures to form in our physical reality and our body and our appearance, how we give our face an appearance, our body an appearance, that's part of structure. The rhythms and patterns of our lives, what we do and when we do it, that's a structure, that's a living structure. The home we live in, the face we wear to the world when we're working, who we say we are, what shape we give that, what veneer we give that, that's a structure, that's a form. All of those things are going through a reset now. From I'm going to construct this from what I think it should be, a place of veneer outside, and then I'm going to try and match up to that, to I'm going to listen to the truth of who I am, and I'm going to constantly allow the structure, the face the world sees, the shape my life has, I'm going to allow that to keep breaking open and renewing, and changing as I expand. So, that's the diatribe that comes from me in the moment. That's what I can see, love. That's what it feels like in here. So... I don't know if it helps if I have a question or if there are already words bubbling away for you on that
the
one.
The question is good because we've got the as always with you, you are so good at identifying where the structures are, what the structure needs to be in a situation. You bring structure in and that creates our container, and then I'm then able to go, okay, what's now? So what is your question, lovely?
Good question. Do you know what? I'm not sure of the question, but it's where the excitement is. It feels like we are just, all of everything is preparing us for going over this rainbow bridge of the summer solstice into co-creativity. Like even the tough bits of Mercury retrograde and the lunar eclipse, the bonkers stuff that was happening on the run-up to that. And my excitement, it's almost like I feel, I'm going to say it again, this image keeps coming, being the sprinter, coming up to the summer solstice, being the sprinter in position. You know, the race hasn't begun. I'm not really a fan of running or racing, so I don't know why I'm getting this, but I keep getting it. And I think that's the hint, is that it's the part, God, it's the mass. What is keeping that running man in us in integrity? What is going to help? What is going to keep? And because that's the energy. It's like we're all going to hit the ground running on the other side of the solstice. Not that we're all going to do this, but that's the energy I keep tuning into around this. And it's like, okay, you've got your beingness. You know who you are. You've had doing this. You've been a pandemic. You've all been very still. Off you go. But stay centered, stay anchored, stay aligned. And it's like, that's what I want to ask. Who is going to be supporting us in staying aligned when we run off with this frighteningly high trigger alert masculine running doing acceleration energy? Where do we go? What gives us support in that?
Everything gives us support in it. Absolutely everything. The whole of life is supporting us. That's not just this planet. This is way, way beyond all that we can conceive, is supporting us. And it's allowing that support that enables us to move forward, to take those steps. We have for eons of time taken off believing there was nothing supporting us. We had to create it all. We had to do this. We had to do that. We have to make it work. No. If there is a working, and that is debatable, if there is a working, it is all working. You do not need to do anything except be out there playing, and your play is creating. You hold the vision. You are the dreamers, the creators, the vision holders of what is possible here in this reality you know to be physical. This is the greatest proving ground for all of you. This is why there are so many of you here at this time. And many more wanted to come. Many, many more. This is where and when you create reality consciously. You have always created it. You have always been the dreamers. But you have not been aware of what that means. And now you are stepping into the knowledge of what it means to be a creator. But But first you had to remember that you were the creator. And then you had to clear all those times when you think that you cocked it up, made a mistake, did all the things wrong. And forgive yourselves, allow those things to pass, to let go of all that you have ever created, and allow yourselves to come once again into the truth of who you are and your role in creation. And this is where you are. You are allowing the inspiration to come. The energies from source to fill you and inspire you, to enable you to dream. You are listening and you are dreaming. And now you are saying, what if we follow this dream? What is the action to take? And it is the inner masculine, as you have identified, that is the action, the one that is ready to be out there and off running. He must listen. And he listens to the feminine within. For she is the one that is listening to all that is in harmony and balance. She is listening to love. And she is allowing the inspiration. And he must listen to her as she shares that with him. And he takes the action in the world. This is the inner feminine and masculine. They are united in their purpose. They are listening. And they are aligned. You are aligned with the truth of who you are. So many of you at this time have come to this epoch, this place, this moment that enables you to go with Gaia, creating the new world, dreaming big. You need to dream big. You need to share your dreams, and you dream collectively, knowing that you can only ever create collectively. Take the actions and allowing all to come into play again, knowing that you are in harmony, you are in love, and that love guides you. We are the creation dragons speaking with you at this time. We are here with you creating. We are ready to support you in your dreams, in your creating. We are one level of the elemental realms that co-create with you constantly. And we are delighted that you are dreaming in full love alignment. Thank you. Away.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. That's like all the dragons. it's not just, you know, we work with dragons a lot, but, you know, that's like, that's just like, yeah, they're the creation dragons, because they are the big level of creation. They form. That's why we have, that's why we call the ley lines, dragon lines and things like that, because that's where the energy structures of the planet are, the big energies are that hold everything together. So they are supporting us in our new reality dreaming. So they are forming the basic structures. They are there. They are already bringing in the basic structures that support the new reality for Gaia and all of life here in this reality as we dream it. So they can. They are the container. They have created the container for it.
Mm. I see that.
And we are working within that. We are, well, we're not working within that. They are working within that. The others, we are dreaming the dream that enables that to happen. Yes, we have a part in that. We always are taking action. But we are following the dream first and foremost. And we are connecting with each other. This is the piece that we've forgotten for so long. How we need to connect with each other to create that level, the vastness level. And yes, we still create as individuals, apparently as individuals, where we create on the small scale, where we, in my case, crochet a jumper, in your case, paint a picture. Those are our smaller creations. Those are our coming direct from us. But there are the bigger things that we are creating, and the biggest of all is our reality. That is the biggest creation we are currently involved in. And that means multiple levels. And each of us will have a focus within that level of our speciality, what we focus in, where we are. So some will be in the structures. Some will be in the creating, the growing, the, and some will be in the economy, how we interact, how we connect, how we bring things together, how we do those things. Depends. We've all got our focus within that. We all have the, but it comes from within. It comes from what excites us, what brings us forward. So yeah. It's a whole, wow, it's just so exciting. to have this, it's like we are just about to, you know, the rainbow bridge. There is this, we're about to launch off. And before, when we've launched, we thought we were going into an abyss, but we are not in an abyss any longer. We are stepping off. Into a new reality that we create with every step we take, with every breath we breathe. And this is the new understanding that we are being asked to bring in. That we are really doing this all the time anyway. We always have done, but this is the realization that we are doing it. Nothing is here, nothing is permanent. It can look like this is a table. Yes, it does, but it's not really solid. It's a vibration. Everything is. We choose to perceive them as solid. Because that's how we are creating in this realm. We perceive it as solid. We enabled it to be. The elementals are real funny about this, because they can slip in and out of anything. They can slip in and out of anything. And they don't have any judgment about the creations that we dream, that we bring into being. They have absolutely zero judgment of it. It's just a great game as far as they're concerned. It's like, oh, okay, let's play this game. Let's just do this. And look, we can slip in here and we can slip in there. So, you know, it's a whole. But everything we are being called to bring it back into, to not impose, creation on creation, but to allow creation to arise. So we're being, It is the plants. It is the way that things grow. We plant the seed. We don't impose. We ask and we plant the seed. And then it grows. And remembering that everything is conscious. That includes the table. Not just the things that you need to be that you think about as being possibly conscious. Everything is conscious.
Yeah.
Absolutely everything. So it's allowing that we communicate with everything. So we often have we in the past have had this issue I have had this issue with the technology, basically. And when we can't connect, it's because there's something for me that I am not willing to address. And that it simply doesn't connect. And that is the elemental. That is you are not coming from, that is how it's, if it's not working, take a breath. What is within me? What is needing to be looked at here? What am I needing to move beyond? What am I bringing here that is hindering my creation?
Yeah. I think that's the irony there. Thank you so much. I was like, the irony of your creation, when you want to bring things into the world, gets much more interrupted, like you say, in that way. Within people who are conscious and who are asking to be more conscious about how we're co-creating, we're much more likely to be slowed down, tripped up and stalled than someone who comes in with no morals, no ethics and wants to make a fortune, and off they go into the distance. And you're there going, but hang on. It's because we've said internally, show me where am I out of alignment? I want to be brought into a higher truth. And so everything responds and goes, yes. And we actually invite the things that trip us up, because we don't want to put a step forward when we're out of, that isn't in integrity, that isn't on the path we've chosen to be aligned with. So you're talking about conscious co-creating and recognizing that all of everything is consciousness is a lovely way for me of understanding that when something comes and trips me up, it's not an external event that's being done to me. It's my landscape of consciousness is being responsive to what I've asked from it. So the technology and the connections that are happening through the internet, my mobile phone, whatever technology I'm using, any software, anything, absolutely anything, software, hardware, anything. The number of times I've had this where, we've been doing work and we've had a focus to hold, and the guides have said, this is what you're looking at now. Are we going into focus? And you and I will wander off like a couple of puppies and go and look at the squirrels and talk about something like shopping or stuff. And suddenly the phone gets interrupted. The connection dies. We can't make it go again and again and again. So we get so used to going, oh, sorry, no, hang on. We made the intention to show up, to hold a focus, to do some work, and we've wandered off. So we're being interrupted so that we refocus on our path. And it's a lovely way of looking at blocks and resistances to understand that, while they're not comfortable always, there is a loving benevolence to So what comes and trips us up, and it is essentially just to get us to refocus on what we said we were here for in the first place.
Yeah.
Like you said, there's a lot of us here at the moment. And I love, it was interesting when you said that there were even more wanted to come in. I think there's a real panic about how many people are on the planet, like something is going wrong. But I always have this sense that Gaia is perfectly happy to sustain us. There's an intelligence at work that is already much more harmonious than we would project upon reality. And we're held within that. And Gaia, as a planetary consciousness, wouldn't invite in more souls than she could sustain without, or more damage that she could sustain without. It's like she's a mother teaching her children. She can withhold a certain amount. And, if it gets to a certain level, there are the boundaries. That's where we get knocked back from.
We are getting those. We're getting those. No, you can't do that any longer. A lot more and a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Because we are on this tipping point, because we are going into this new reality, and we are all going. And it's kind of like, no, you can't. No, I'm sorry. You can't. Now, OK, how do we all make this? How do we do this? And we go, we need to stop. Okay, how do we do this? And there it is. there's a virus that goes around the world, and we all go, "Ah, oh, we've got to stop." Oh, there's all sorts of gifts in that, but one of them was to stop and to see that when we stop, Gaia comes back just like that.
Yeah,
everything comes back just like that. It only requires us to stop, to make the conscious choice to stop doing what is out of alignment. Simple.
Just allow ourselves to be interrupted. It's funny because that brings us all the way down to the original question, which was, how do we keep that running man in alignment when we all shoot off and play together? What keeps that in alignment? And it is the being interrupted, allowing. So we'll get interrupted unless we actually impose that interruption on ourselves and take those moments. I always say impose, impose, but welcome the pause, a breath in between one sentence and another. And a pause in between one thought and another, and a rest in between one action and another. Because in the rest and in the breath and in the pause, what are we doing but recording the masculine, the inner masculine, home into the inner feminine, into beingness, into the part of ourselves that, like you're saying, is listening to harmony, is listening to the divine, to all that is, is in connectivity. And it's a way of constantly bringing back that running man into that place of unity, of I am one with all that is, and oh, this is what's now. This is the action to take, the direction to go in, the thing to bring into form. But we can bring that, you can take that from a really big generalized idea and bring it all the way into life. It, you know, that can become part of life's structure. Is, well, I sit down and I take a few breaths in between this thing that I do in the morning and the next thing that I do. Or I just take a breath in between somebody saying something to me and me answering. And every breath, every pause drops us right back into the pool of the infinite. So that giving, you know, what comes out, outward, what is outgoing is coming from within, and within is connected. So, yeah, that definitely answers a question. I think at this point, I just want to say, because does anyone have a question that you want to ask? Because we're looking at a lot of topics. We're looking at co-creation, we're looking at summer solstice, we're looking at Gaia, we're looking at all sorts of things. Is there a question in, you know, that's here now? And if there is, if you type it in the comments, that should come up, and we can see that. So just while we're talking, you don't feel like you're on the spot right now, but just while we're talking, the words come. If you do get a question, just post it up. I can't promise we'll answer it, but it's nice to, you know, don't hold back. So you know, if there's something you want the guides to speak on in this arena that we're looking at the moment. I wanted to just, I got really excited when you were talking about the dragon. Just before the full moon eclipse, I was pulled in real deep, and I was just aware that this big reset to do with the inner masculine instruction and doingness and bringing things into form was happening in my body. But the reset was also going on in a galactic dimension of myself. And it was the dragon that was there. And it wasn't like the dragon was in a reset. It was more like I was being given permission. To breathe with all the way into my body, this galactic dragon dimension of self. Like, so I would just say this is an archetype within the human blueprint. It's one of the dimensions of the self is the galactic dragon, and it's not one I've worked with a lot. And one of the permissions I was being given was to drop real deep into this dimension of the self, just and to be in my body, and not to try and understand too much about that, but just to allow it. And to, there was this acknowledgement that a breath, a creation breath, was coming all the way from this dimension of myself that could understand things out here and knew its job and knew its purpose, was coming all the way from this part of the self into my body. Like this breath of life was coming into the body from this part of me that was finally online, or I'd done enough work to be allowed to be online with this part of myself. And it's a part where I've come up to it before and gone, oh, it's a bit too powerful. I don't know if I can handle this. I'll get it wrong. It'll all go wonky again, like it did in, you know, civilizations gone by. We'll make the same mistakes. Let's not contact the dragons and be powerful here. And it really does feel like with the first 6 months of healing focus this year that a lot of the, you know, we've been working on this as a collective for so long, clearing our Atlantean traumas and dramas and reconnecting with the gifts instead from those eras. And it really felt like the first 6 months was a real clearing up of what was left, the residual harmonics being cleared from the collective field about, oh no, if we create, we'll recreate the apocalypse, you know, we'll redo Atlantis, we'll redo Egypt, we'll redo all the cock-ups we've made before, basically. And there was a real clearing out of that, because it's like you really haven't got time or space to dally in that fear frequency anymore. You've done it, you've done the work, enough of you have done enough of the work for the all of you to get on with it, to get over it and get on with it. And there's just no more time left for dallying in, oh no, what if I get it wrong, you know? And I think that's why we're being really strengthened and supported, yeah, and backed up in where we're headed. So yeah.
And as you've touched on there, we are allowing those more coherent, frequencies, those higher frequencies, the more coherent frequencies, the frequencies that are fully aligned with love and truth, which support us in creating. So they're supporting us in creating.
Oh, you're
then
right.
It comes into, you know, they are supporting us in this. And that means that we are in alignment. It is okay. We are running, you know, we are facing the right way. We are doing it okay. And as you say, get over the whole idea of that we might cock it up again. It's there's no energy for those painful creations any longer. There's no energy for it. Because the higher frequencies are always going to win out. They're always going to come through. So,
it's resting. You're right, though. There are gifts coming online. I'm seeing the gifts. We were master co-creators in Egypt, in Lemuria, in Atlantis, and other civilizations that I'm not going to write a long list here, but we all have our own lineage that's alive to us now. You know, that we vibrate within this lifetime, the gifts that we come into embody in this lifetime so often are a collection of, rather than coming and saying, in the past, we might have been the witch, the wise woman, the this, the shaman, the da da da. So much of what I've kind of, my arena, my tribe that I see at the moment is a case of, well, we're reconnecting with the higher self. The higher self contains a collection of every life we've ever been and the ones we've yet to be, you know, all of the individuations.
Yes.
And it's more that those gifts, those wisdoms, those awarenesses that are for us in this lifetime that suit the configuration we are, the puzzle piece we are in the picture of the whole, the shape we are, the note we are in the song, the job we're here to do, the role we're here to play, that those gifts from other lifetimes that are all contained within the higher self, the more open to our higher self and our I am awareness we are, lump those two together for the moment, that's what's giving shape to the gifts we've had. So although we're getting the more aligned we are, the more we can access gifts from those other lifetimes. We're not going to go and re-identify with the I who was a reality engineer in Egyptian times, or you know, a technician in Atlantean times, or a magician or a dreamer in Lemuria. It's like we're not any one of those things, and yet the gifts that are appropriate to the moment are coming online because we're welcoming in what is a frequency match, the configuration patterns that match our unique frequency patterns here and now. And it means that you just say that. And I got this sense of excitement about going over that rainbow bridge of the solstice. And I'm so entrenched in the heaviness of healing that I'm actually, it's almost hard to get to that lightness of being and playfulness. And this is one of the things that gets me there, is excitement about what is coming online. What from Egypt, what from Lemuria, what from Atlantis, what are those abilities? You know, when we were masters and we weren't so afraid of what we were doing and we did just plow on and get on with it. We've been healed of those lifetimes for a reason. And that's so we don't get afraid when we pick up the gifts and start to use them again. And that feels like it's coming online after the solstice.
Yes. Yeah.
So we could find ourselves opening to new dimensions of our own spiritual lineage that have been dormant until now, or have just been a cause for you really need to heal this up until now, that are actually going to flip and go, guess what you can do? Guess what you're made of? Do you know what? Because I've been asking for help lifting and lightening from that I must heal to, let's go out to play. You know, just this year, before, no problem. But this year has been a bit intense. And that's the help I really want. It's like, get me excited. What's going to get me excited about the new that's coming in and what's going to come online? It's like, please line me up with the creative gifts that have been dormant. I can see my guides. It's like they're in the room with me now. It's like there's a yes all around for this. What is... I'm so excited. I can't find the words. What is going to bring me online with the gifts that have been dormant that are ready to wake up? Oh, do you know what? There was a thing. Sorry, this is exciting. I went to the beach with beautiful beings. I think are possibly in the room with us at the moment. Yesterday, we went to the beach, okay? I always used to find it easier to see things like auras and energies when it's beach, especially in the lower half of the second half of the day. We got to the beach yesterday and I was just like, what's that? Because there was like, how the hell do you describe this? It was like has like a cellular membrane of energetics in the air, a visible cellular membrane of energetics in the air.
Wow.
And I was like, hang on a minute, can anyone, is this just, no, really? In broad daylight, I get to see this now, here, in broad daylight, in the middle of a, and I was playing with it, because there's a part of the brain going, you're seeing something new, you don't know what it is, it's unfamiliar, and there's a part of the mind that kicks in and goes, what is it? I've got to try and understand it. And I always have to shut that part up, because it will interfere with the experience I'm having.
Yes.
And as I was walking towards it, I was just like, right, I'm just going to play with this. I'm not going to try and understand it. I'm not going to try and work out what it is, because that might close me down to what I'm seeing. And as I was walking towards it and stepping back from it, and I was like, it's actually in the physical environment. It has a relationship to physical space, this thing that I'm seeing. And it was quite a very thick energy membrane. I was like, I'm going to walk through this. This feels like I could walk through it. And I just walked through it. And it felt like I was in a slightly, like a dimension. I've got to ask you about this, Jeeva, and you're so good at refining what's going on. So I'm afraid you're going to get the questions here. And it's like, I really did feel like there was a very subtle, dimensional shift when I was on the other side of this like energy wall. And I'm looking around and like, oh, I can see the energy in the landscape. I can see big, fat energy lines in the landscape. I can see different coloured lights, and I can see like the light of my ship, and I can see the light of the Sirius space. You know, there's quite a lot going on in the environment. There's things that have a location. And of course, my questioning mind was going over time, wanting to know what everything was. And I didn't get a lot of answers in the moment. And I always have to remember that sometimes the answers come afterwards. And it's important when phenomena happen, one, not to mistake it for spiritual evolution, because phenomena and spiritual evolution don't have a smooth correlation. They're more like a symptom. They're not the most important thing. But two, that the answers come afterwards. And I was like, God, I wish Jeeva Ann was here. I could just stop asking Jeeva Ann every time you have something like this. I was like, nah, I'm going to ask her. What was it? What'd you get?
You know what it was. It was exactly what you said. It was a movement through into a different reality. It was just a slight step.
Mm.
Just a step into everything another reading
on the other side of that. Do you remember? It's like I was looking at the landscape and I was suddenly getting readings from it. As I could look at what was going on with the clouds, the mountains, and the elementals, and I could understand what the message was. And they were showing me the big energies on the move, big earth energies on the move.
Yes.
And how earth and air, and there was there's a lot of, this is funny actually, because the mountains looked like they were giving off steam, like there was a real getting ready for the masculine. And the landscape was actually painting a picture that I was sort of reading and understanding, very connected to what we've been talking about today.
Yeah.
And they were showing me like the masculine energies in the mountains and the feminine energies in the mountains. And it was just a moment where I got a dialogue with myself. And I was like, okay, so you've got a mama mountain there. You've got a papa mountain there. You've got the feminine there, the masculine there. The masculine's getting ready to, almost like it's rubbing its hands. There's a huge energy coming from those male mountains I was looking at in the distance. But the mama mountain was just like, she's still sleeping. She's just kind of lying down. And I was like, so what wakes her up? And the answer was just really beautiful in the moment. It's like, well, what wakes her up is realizing that the masculine is in her and the feminine is in him and that everything contains both. I know this. I've been saying this for like decades. Yeah. But it's the different, it was realizing it in this place, in this context, with what was going on in this moment, that, you know, shifted so many things for me, just like, in just a moment. There's another thing though, and it was to do with, this is where it gets a bit tricky to explain, but where we've spoken about this before, the reset in reality from duality to unity and the sacred geometries of this. Mm-hmm. And it's like, imagine that all of oneness was a lens, and the lens, there's light, beams of light coming to a point, coming to a focus, and just where they focus, this is where the here and now is. I was like, well, when we shifted into duality, it was almost like the lens of light, which was consciousness coming to a focus, and the focus was creation, from God to creation, from the God to the child. When we went into duality and we had our various civilization cock-ups, it's like we inverted the geometry. So instead of coming to a lens, those lines of light carried on, and we thought, gosh, wouldn't it be a fine thing to push the boundaries of experience beyond what we've got to? Wouldn't it be a fine thing to push reality beyond unity and see what happens if we push the big red button? But when we shifted into duality, in the many ways we have, the pyramid geometry, the lines of light, it's like those lights carried on, and it created the inverse pyramid on the event horizon of the here and now. Rather than having pyramids where we're held within oneness, it created that inverse pyramid. And that's what I was seeing when I went through that wall, that cell, that kind of energy wall yesterday. That's, I was actually seeing the lines of light in the landscape where there's this relationship of homecoming in the physical reality. You've got the duality geometries, but you've also got the unity geometries present in the elemental dimensions of reality, in the physical reality, in the earth. It's like they're both present here and now. Two worlds in one world, two paradigms in one world are the geometries, but both paradigms present at the same time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we knew this, we told about it decades ago. I saw a lot of the light engineering happening in 2020, but to see it again yesterday, real clear like that, I was like, you've always got a choice. Yes. Don't panic. You're already aligned within the reality you want to be aligned with. Everyone is. There's no sense of needing to scrabble, but just being aware of the enormity of this.
Hmm.
Yeah, so that, I don't, it's kind of run me down now. I don't know where I was going with that, because it's a bit of a Bit of a sentence stopper, that one.
That is such a thank you, because that is such a clear description of that we have this choice. You know, we are at a choice point. We do make this choice, and we do keep on making this choice, because that is the nature of the reality that we have here and that we've set up here. Is that we choose. So although there is a level where all of us have said, okay, we're going with this, we're going to go with Gaia, we are going to be part of the newness, we are stepping into the new world, but we haven't all done that on all levels of our being. So the two realities are coexisting, so that we can choose on another level, on another level, on another level. Mm. Because then it is less traumatic.
Thank you.
It's far less traumatic for the individual human to make it. It's all been made. That choice has already been made right across, but at the highest levels of our being. And it's in the other levels of us that we are making this choice. So the two realities are side by side. And the one is being fueled less. As yeah. more of us step into the new, there is less and less fueling for it. So there will come a time that when people will move over, and they may find it a bit of a trauma because they won't have, that it's almost like there won't be much choice left, because there will be no fuel left in the old reality. If you think in terms of, yeah. In those kind of terms. So I constantly get that this process we're in is being minutely managed for the well-being of all of us. And that's not just the humans, that's the well-being of everyone, everything and everyone. It is being micromanaged for that. But at the same time, we are choosing. So our choice is honored, respected. As they said in one channeling, it is sacred. Your choice is sacred and must be honored and respected. So we have this. So I mean, we just, it's so difficult to grasp, because we have had this long story of being out there on our own and not feeling supported and having to do it all ourselves and da di da di da, and here we are being held, and each step is being carefully orchestrated to support every one of us in this transition into the new. And that is not just a loving mother as Gaia, our planet. This is the loving father of all that is also. It isn't just, it is everything. Everyone, everything, every energy, every being, everything that is gathered here and beyond. It's not just gathered here, but we can't conceive of it. It is so way, I mean, it's way out there. I don't get it. It's way out there. Somewhere, it's all being supported. And this is why we get, you know, rest. It's okay. You're held here. This is Gaia says this a lot. It's okay. Rest. You are being held. And we are, and so much of reality is helping us. Well, not so much of reality. All of reality is helping us to come through, to make this transition. And because we are so essential. We are so essential to this because we are the dreamers. We are the visioners of the dream, of the creation. We are so essential here.
Mm-hmm.
And we can't, and we don't. So we are being taken care of. And we are being nurtured and cared for at whatever place we are at within ourselves. We are doing that. And we can't, you know, that is what is happening. We're not, no one is left behind. No one is punished. No one is, and it's just like, this is why would she? She would never do that to her children. She would never do that to her children. She is making the transition herself, and she is making it as carefully and as gently as possible to minimize the impact on all other life. I can't remember who it was I was channeling, but somebody was saying that the biggest hindrance to the process is our fear. And so to allow that to be, and to, I mean, that is accepted and it is held and it is loved, to come back into wholeness for us to remember, hold within, to allow that process within us also. She's fine.
Love it.
You know, all of this reality is reflecting to us what we need to see for our own journey.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to. So some of it is written very large. Some of it is written very, very large to help us to come into the wholeness of our being and to move beyond the control of the fear that we have generated and created.
So. Thank you. I mean, as you're talking, I can feel her frequencies coming through. It's like there's the planetary frequencies. I know you're not channeling at the moment, but still.
Yeah.
To feel the vibration of what's behind us and the connection that you have.
Yeah.
Certainly acting on me, at least. That's conked out. That's insane. Oh, I think that's just, I love that. And I love the benevolence and the warmth, the constant reminder. And when you were talking about, you know, it's almost unfathomable how there is so much benevolent support. And it's unfathomable, definitely from a human perspective, because from a human perspective, we always see things as constructed and organized. And yet, when there is harmony, when there is a field of harmonic resonance, everything falls into that. Everything is automatically resting and relaxing into its natural place and position within the field. And that example, that model of how all, you know, all of everything, all of life is here to support us, but guides from dimensions and galaxies we've never even heard of and I can't pronounce are here to support us, how everything is actually holding us in a benevolence and in harmony, so that even our becoming and our ascension and our breaking open and growing and changing and expanding is supported in the most harmonious way that it can be. We're not saying perfection, we're just saying as harmonious as is possible. And how phenomenal that is. And it's like, well, it's because of that. When I'm looking at harmonic resonance, it's a field of frequency. And everything is invited into its most harmonious vibration, its most harmonious level, state, vibratory state. And in that harmonious vibratory state, the impulse is that what we want to do, what we feel called to do, what excites us, what draws us, what pulls us, what repels us. That's all within us. We're not thinking it. We're not thinking how to be this. It's all just acting within us. And so how that can be so amazingly organized is because it's not organized in the way we think of organization. It's the innate intelligence of the whole is organization itself. It's, no one is up there organizing it going, more on the left, please. Or if they are, I'm really sorry to discount that right now. But it's a really nice model for what you were talking about earlier, which is the shift into co-creating. So going over the rainbow bridge of the solstice into the shift of co-creating, and how there's no one leader over other people, but we are all leaders in our own field, and that we come together as sovereign master co-creators, where we all have our areas of mastery. And when we are owning and honoring what is my level of mastery, what is my, well, where is my excitement? Because if we've got our excitement, it's always going to be calling us into what's, you know, where is my sovereignty? What am I for? When we follow that, we end up actually going, well, I can do this bit. I've got this bit really well. I can't do that bit. I really could do with support in that bit. Oh, wow, look at you. You know that bit inside out. I don't know how you do that. Before we know it, we actually fit together when we're all asking what excites me the most. I don't want to do what doesn't excite me. I am going to show up for what does. This is what's right in the moment, not what should I be excited for. What am I excited for in the moment? And that could always come as a weird surprise. Just try it in your daily life, you know. I don't need all the jobs that need doing, say, in a domestic environment, the cleaning, the washing up, the washing, the shopping, the cooking, the food, the domestic jobs. All right, imagine you've got them all to do. You don't know which one needs to be done. You let go of absolutely everything in the moment. Nothing is needed right now. And you empty out, in this moment, I'm enough. Oh, I feel really excited to do the washing up. Now, who would have thought it? Who logically would sit down and think you're going to get excited about doing that? But it's like the whisper of the, well, that's what the energy is for right now. And it's like when the energy, when we're listening to what the energy is for in us right now, it can surprise us. But that is our guide to collaboration, to how we show up when there's more than one person involved in a project or a co-creation. It's not what do I think I'm good at and what should I do. It's where do I feel energized? Where do I feel excited? What is swimming towards me? You know, what's the job that's in front of me now? What's the job that's in front of me now? And am I energized for it? And if the answer is no, well, there's some inner work to do. But if the answer is yes, that's how we show up in co-creations. Not you're a builder, you're a baker, you're a thingy. Well, who's going to do this bit then? I don't know. It's like co-creations hit us with surprises. We don't know what jobs are going to be. Oh, John, thank you. We didn't quite finish answering your question. we don't know what jobs are going to throw themselves up when we co-create together. We certainly don't know what obstacles are going to throw themselves up. And it's in co-creating that we find our gifts. We find things we didn't know we were good at because suddenly something needs to be dealt with and we don't know who deals with this and how does it get dealt with. But that, the more we're alive to our authentic truth in the moment and we can bring that into our days, the more I am alive to my, just try that out, shall I? The more I am alive to my authentic truth in the moment and I can bring that into my day, the more likely I am to show up in a way that is not only I can sustain the energy for, but I can bring something, I can find out something about myself I didn't know I could do, and I can bring something to a picture I didn't know I had. And, you know, I get to be part of everything. So following excitement is the thing. Not where I thought I was going to go. I just, look, we're just over an hour now. And I think we should wrap it up at an hour and 15. But yeah. I just, John has asked a beautiful question. And I know we've touched on quite a lot of the elements of it. So if I just put it up and read it out. And I really kind of want to, I'll read it.
Are you
see what comes I can't through on this, especially because it points to differences.
Too small.
So it says, thank you so much for collaborating and providing this space. Well, thank you, John, for collaborating and being in this space, part of it too. May I ask how we could, as a collective, unite and co-create? We tend to let our differences divide us.
It's first, I would suggest that first of all, we show up with, we are, or we will have differences. We're going to hold those and we're going to allow them, but we're not going to allow them to divide us. And then to allow that we have focus, we have a new focus, that this is the focus. What are we here for? This is the focus. And allowing that there are differences, there may be conflict, and to come into the point of allowance, to say, okay, it feels like we're coming into, so we're not in harmony here any longer. How are we going to deal with that? because we can't create if we're not in harmony, not in that not in this reality. It is a case of, as we come together, we are going to need to be in harmony with each other if we are creating. And a lot of the process to begin with is going to be coming into harmony with each other on the project, whatever the project is, and to take that space and that time and to be and allow us each to be together. That's what I have.
Very beautiful. I know someone who's really good at that, Nina, who's quite possibly with us at the moment, is extremely good at allowing others their differences. I've got people around me at the moment who are just masters in this and are a real lesson in this is how you allow others to be. You allow others their differences, and the resonance that holds us in that, that makes it easier for me, is compassion. And I don't mean heart bleeding compassion. I mean the co-creation resonance of compassion, that unconditional compassion that's always to be found somewhere in me. When I enter into stillness, it's one of the first resonances that emerges in my field of consciousness responding. How consciousness responds to friction, to story, to life, to the creation having its experience. How all of consciousness and all of love responds to this I who's creating is with compassion. And so that's definitely a resonance that I find quite helpful. The exciting bit in that question is how we unite and co-create, because there's something I see is that, again, the less we organize our uniting, the less we think we are going to unite, we are going to be united and we must unite everyone. And I'm not saying you're saying this, John, but it's like the less we think like that, and the less we think of that with that as a need, the more it happens without our realizing it. And again, it comes back to that when we're focusing on how we can be a happy cell in the body, we don't need to know what all the other cells are doing, how the body works together, how the cell I am connects with the cell that's up in the head or somewhere else. But if I'm a healthy, happy cell and I'm functioning as I am, I'm going to be functioning in unity with lots of other cells without even knowing it, without knowing how I show up. And it's like we already are functioning together in unity way more than is visible. And there is a kind of beautiful, it comes from the heart, a heart cry to like, well, can we see that, please? Could we be shown that this is, because it's not that visible. But the more we open to the oneness within, the more we're part of a field of oneness, the more I was saying this yesterday, you have a thought, it's fed up to the collective consciousness, somebody else acts on it. We don't need to shout it across the distance to go, can you hear me? Oh, you over in 2B, I've had an idea. Maybe you could act on the next part of this. It's like being inspired and being connected and thinking, wow, wouldn't it be great if this existed? That's part of the dreaming and visioning, but that's the kind of the dreaming and the visioning. But then there's a listening, and there's that random moment of inspiration when we listen to random moments of inspiration, like, wouldn't it be great if I'm just gonna do this? I don't know why I'm doing it, but I feel really excited to do this, go here, be a part of that, show up for this, experiment with this, whatever the creative impulse is, because that can be I'm gonna invent something, or I'm gonna experiment with something, or it could be I'm gonna turn up in this organization and make an offering, or actually I'm going to change jobs. I think I'm wasted in this department. I need to be over here doing that instead. Or I've just seen how this could be more efficient, so I'm going to go and take a proposal to such and such. Now, those are really random examples, but it doesn't matter what we're doing. It's more that the impulse, we're following that impulse. And then it's like community. I think somebody says, we're going to become a community. That's a construction, whereas we can also look at wherever we live, how community grows. Like, naturally, the community can be made up of the people we see every day and those people we interact with. And where we naturally form groups, what draws us together without our thinking about it. And we've come together around a purpose. So when we're clear on our own individual purposes, what lights us up, what we feel strongly for, what we're energized for, our purpose comes into focus, and what we want to give our attention and energy and focus to. gains clarity. And then we form a kind of attraction, a field of attraction for others who are holding a similar focus and who are moved by similar, you know, who have similar motivations, and we draw together. And before you know it, the people who are drawing together don't really need to be organized, because, again, this harmony, this innate harmonic resonance is at work. The principles of innate intelligence are at work. And I'd be amazed if we weren't attracting to ourselves the people who have, who perform different roles, or who show up with different gifts within the whole. That suddenly there is a whole, because we all decided to honor what's most important to us and give it our energy, attention, and focus. And I'll just, you know, wrapping that one up and closing it on myself is just to say that, was it somebody serving Tony Robbins, I think, who's saying, oh, you know, attention is the most precious commodity of the new age. And I was like, oh, that makes me shudder. And it's really uncomfortably true. So what we give our attention to, as we know, is really precious. And it's something we have soul ownership over. Anyway,
thank you.
That's me done.
Thank you.
No more words from here. John, thank you for a beautiful question and for being here. And I can't see who else is here, but I've got a sneaking suspicion. So thank you. And I can feel the other presences in the field with us right now who are part of this, and just, oh, so grateful, because this is us birthing a little co-creation into the world and seeing how it works. So I love you. Thank you so much. It's been really sweet to come out and play like this and just see what happens when we sit together and go, what's now? Where do we go? What happens?
Thank you.
I should say as well, just to get into the habit of saying this, you can work with Alcala. Lovely. It was you that were brilliant. Nice to see you here, sweetheart. I should say you can work with either of us one-to-one. Jivaran is a channel and more of an oracle. And I am more into energy alignment and inner process work, but we both cross over on that field. But we're both available for one-to-one work. But I think we should do more of this. What do you reckon, Jeeva?
I think we
can set up another one.
Yeah, we can. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant, brilliant. Yeah. All right. And next time, I think we'll probably open more to questions as well. What do you think?
Yeah, I reckon we could do that. Yeah. As long as you can handle the technology, I'm happy with it.
It's making it easy for me. All right, guys, if anyone wants to be kept up to date with when these things are going on and out, I didn't put this in the newsletter just gone, because it's our very first one and it was a bit of an experiment. So it's been really nice to have your loving presences with us, helping us with this. But yeah, if you do just want to be sent the links for various events, then send me your email address and I'll make sure that you get letters with links in them when we do future events for stuff. Because we do. Every new and full moon, there's an online meditation, which you can join, and the link goes out in the newsletter. And yeah, we're going to be doing more live streams, I think. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a beautiful day. I think that's us over and out, huh?
Thank you. Yes.